Amen. Well, it's great to be in the house of the Lord with every single one of you this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Luke 7, beginning at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And when he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and you gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. The forgiveness of God is incredible. The forgiveness of Jesus Christ is incredible. The forgiveness in and of and because of Jesus. Verse 47, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And the J.B. Phillips New Testament reads, the man who has little to be forgiven has only a little love to give. You know, I read this again as I've read it before, and this verse struck my heart. Could it be that lack of love for Jesus exists because we've been forgiven little? That we view it as little. We take a look at our lives and we view it as he's only forgiven us a little. We must realize our sins, which are many. Our sins, which were many. I want to say to all of us this morning that the forgiveness of God is no small matter. The forgiveness of God is no common thing. The forgiveness of God is not some small thing concerning who we are. Of which camp are we? Oh Lord, I've been forgiven much. and the corresponding action and life? Or, I've been forgiven little, and the corresponding action in life? J.B. Phillips, New Testament, he said to Simon, you can see this woman. I came into your house, but you provided no water to wash my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. There was no warmth in your greeting, but she, from the moment I came in, has not stopped covering my feet with kisses. You gave me no oil for my head, but she has put perfume on my feet. That is why I tell you, Simon, that her sins, many as they are forgiven. For she has shown me so much love. But the man who has little to be forgiven has only a little love to give. My, how much we've been forgiven. I think of this group of people in this room this morning. How great is the forgiveness of God? All that he's forgiven, all that he's put on the bottom of the ocean floor, all that he's set out of his sight and out of his mind. How he's delivered his grace to us. You ever sit back and, not that we dwell on these things, but look at your life. Count all the times the forgiveness of God has met you, rescued you. I hear him speaking to us as he spoke to Simon, saying, can you see this woman? Why is this account in the Bible? Every account in the Bible, every story is there for a reason. It's there for a purpose. And I hear the Spirit saying to the church this morning, can you see this woman? Number one, can you see the manner of her arrival? The message reads, turning to the woman, but speaking to Simon, he said, do you see this woman? I came to your home. You provided no water for my feet, but she rained tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. Look at how this woman came to Jesus. Look at how she arrived, and look at how she drew near, and look at how she approached Jesus. Jesus is saying, can you see this woman? Can you see how she came? Can you see how she approached me? And how she drew near to me? Can you see the manner of her arrival? Yes, a woman, which is a sinner. And she knows that Jesus sits at meat in a Pharisee's house, and she brings an alabaster box of ointment and stands at his feet behind him weeping and begins to wash his feet with tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head and kisses his feet and anoints them with the ointment. Do you see this woman? Can we glean from the manner of her arrival? When we read this text, you know, she hadn't even been forgiven yet, but I believe she somehow knew that Jesus was full of grace, mercy, and love, that he had been sent for her and that he sat at that table waiting for her. Look at her arrival. Look at how she came. Look at how she drew near. How do we come? How's our drawing near to Jesus? How's our arrival when he's in the house? What manner of our arrival? This is no common meeting. This is no common man in the house. You know, Jesus loves the arrival of those that know how dead they are without him. He anticipates the arrival of those that know how bankrupt they are without him. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And could it be that the arrival of some isn't that it should be because they don't think they have much to be forgiven for? And therefore, the corresponding action and reaction in life. Can you see this woman, he said. Number two, can you see the warmth of her greeting? The King James Version, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. The message, speaking to Simon, he said, do you see this woman? I came to your home, and you provided no water for my feet. But she rained tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. You gave me no greeting, but from the time I have arrived, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. I want to ask this morning, how do we arrive and how do we greet Jesus? And Jesus is saying, do you see this woman? It matters how we arrive. It matters how we greet Jesus. The manner of our arrival and the warmth of our greeting, it matters to Jesus. We might look at it and think it doesn't matter much, but to Jesus it matters. And that's why he stops what's going on and he says, do you see this woman? Again, this is no common greeting, no common man, no common interaction. This is no common meeting. His presence isn't merely common. Can we hear that this morning? Fresh. That his house is not common. That interaction with Jesus Christ, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is not common. That when he's in the house, it's not common. Do we know who's in the house? See, it says when she knew Jesus was in the house. And listen to these words. This is what Jesus is receiving from this woman, and he tells us how he feels about it. This woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. How many know that Jesus loves, we just talked about the worship service for a moment, Jesus loves when he enters the room, and we know he's always here, but when his presence comes and he shows up, that he finds a group of worshipers that just can't stop, that they have to be stopped. I mean, I remember being in the other part of the world, and that's not to compare. We're in this service, and I'll never forget it. These people worshiping, and I mean, it was a little bit of chaos, you know? Those countries can be that way. And it was so loud. The pastor actually had to get up and tell them, like, you got to stop now. We have to move on. Desperate for his presence. Understanding this is not commonplace. This isn't common. And perhaps I just feel the Spirit saying to the church that perhaps it's got too common. That his house is too common. That his presence is too common. That this meeting and greeting with Jesus is just too common. It's like, how you doing, Jesus? Coffee in one hand and a raised hand on the other side. And heaven forbid that I live my life like that. And I pray that we all recognize once again that this is not common. He said, from the time I arrived, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. And again, I wonder if the greeting of many is casual and cold because they see forgiveness, the forgiveness they have received, as little. You see, when we truly realize the depth of his forgiveness, it changes everything. When we truly realize how much he's forgiven us for and what it truly means, it changes everything. But maybe we don't view it as meaning much. We come in and we encounter Jesus and we have these times with him and it's like, yeah, okay, you forgive me. And we've fallen into this pattern. Where even his forgiveness has become common. Passion Translation. Jesus said, Simon, I have a word for you. Go ahead, teacher, I want to hear it. He answered, it's a story about two men who were deeply in debt. One owed the bank $100,000, and the other only owed $10,000. When it was obvious that neither of them would be able to repay their debts, the kind banker graciously wrote off the debts and forgave them all that they owed. Tell me, Simon, which of the two debtors would be the most thankful? Which one would love the banker most? Simon answered, I suppose it would be the one with the greatest debt forgiven. You're right, said Jesus. Jesus agreed. Let's greet him right. Let's arrive right. When he's in the house, and that can speak to so many things, let's greet him right. Number three, and we've touched on this throughout, can you see the extravagant response? How many believe that Jesus wants to be loved extravagantly? I mean, we want him to love us extravagantly, and we're so thankful that he does. That's the kind of encounter he wants with us. Our text, speaking to Simon, he said, do you see this woman? I came to your home. You provided no water for my feet, but she rained tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. You gave me no greeting, but from the time I arrived, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. You provided nothing for freshening up, but she has soothed my feet with perfume. Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins, and so she is very, very grateful. If the forgiveness is minimal, the gratitude is minimal. In the Passion Translation, she has been forgiven of all her many sins. This is why she has shown me such extravagant love. But those who assume they have very little to be forgiven will love me very little. These are the words of Jesus. This is what Jesus is saying. Can it be said that our manner towards Jesus, when in his presence, is extravagant? Would he call it extravagant? You see, he's the one in the moment that decides. He said, look at this woman. This is extravagant. Look at this woman. Take note. This is what I'm after. See, Jesus decides. We don't come in and say, yeah, my response is extravagant, Lord. He's the one that decides. He's the one that determines. He's the one that is receiving it. Receiving the arrival and the greeting and the response. Jesus felt the much of her love, the much of her gratitude, the much of her heart towards him. Jesus knew how highly she thought of him. I want Jesus to know how highly I think of him. Is that the cry of your heart and your life? Jesus, I want you to know how highly I think of you. And it does speak to our conduct. It speaks to how we do life. It speaks to how we do church. All things. And you got to know that the ointment, the perfume, represented her life and her everything. Her desires and her dreams, all that she had and all that she was. You see, the only response she thought was reasonable was extravagant response. Why? Because she was forgiven. And she knew she was forgiven much, and so she was very, very grateful. Because the forgiveness was extravagant, so was her gratitude. So too was her response. Number four, can you see her faith? Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The Passion Translation reads, and Jesus said to the woman at his feet, all your sins are forgiven. And all the dinner guests said among themselves, who is the one who can even forgive sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith in me has given you life. Now you may leave and walk in the ways of peace. You know, I guess we know what Jesus calls faith. We know that he is so pleased with faith. The Bible clearly says that. And it is for reason that this piece of history found its way onto the pages of the Bible. The Spirit wants us to look at this woman this morning, a simple story, and perhaps this sounds like a simple message. Simply calling us to respond to Jesus the way we should. Simply calling us to acknowledge the forgiveness that we've received. The depth of his forgiveness and how serious it is and how beautiful it is. And therefore, how do we honor it? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You see, I guess we know what faith looks like in the eyes of Jesus. Galatians 2, 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. I think of this woman, like if you knew Jesus was in the house and he's your only way, he's your only hope, he's your only freedom, I mean, without him you're dead, without him you're lost. And look what she goes, she brings this perfume, she comes into the house, and she's ready to meet Jesus. She didn't care what others thought, she's ready. She was okay with washing his feet with tears. She was okay with letting out her hair and wiping his feet. She was okay with extravagant response. I pray that we are too. Can I have the worship team return this morning? He wanted us to see this woman this morning. Her faith, what saving faith looks like. You know, this is not a one-time encounter. We live out our days with extravagant love for our Savior. We continue with the right arrival. We continue with the right greeting. We are to continue with the right response, no matter how long we've been at this. These things don't become so common. His presence never becomes common. The forgiveness and the relationship because of the great price that he paid doesn't become common. Why? Why do we continue with the right arrival, with the right greeting and the right response? Because we've been forgiven. And we know we've been forgiven much, and so we are very, very grateful because the forgiveness is extravagant, so is the response. So is the response. How's our response to Jesus? His presence. How's our gratitude? Because of the forgiveness we've received. Would he deem the arrival is right and the greeting is right? The response is right? As extravagant? Or is it less? I pray that just by taking a look at this woman, this account in Scripture this morning, that things will change for all of us. We'll forever be in awe of the great grace of God. And that we'll never look at our own lives and say, I've only been forgiven little. But our confession will be that we have been forgiven much. And we are so grateful. Would you stand this morning? Let's begin to thank him for his forgiveness. Thank him for his forgiveness, the power of the cross, all he's done.